From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson. The sporting world is mourning a loss today. Three-time world heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali, born Cassius Clay, is dead after a 32-year battle with Parkinson's disease. VOA's Carla Babb reports.
In 1964, he shocked overwhelming favorite Sonny Liston to win his first world heavyweight title. Washington Post newspaper sports columnist Mike Wise says the confident boxing great continued to dominate, fighting with both his fists.
These represent dynamite.
And his words.
He was probably the first guy, the first athlete in America to brag about something and back it up. Nobody boasted in those days.
I'm the greatest, and I'm knocking out all bones. And if you get too small, I'll knock you out.
Clay had joined the Nation of Islam and changed his name after that fight to one that is revered around the world, Muhammad Ali. Carla Babb, VOA News, Washington.
Muhammad Ali died at age 74 in Phoenix, Arizona, where he was being treated for a respiratory ailment. China could end up erecting a great wall of self-isolation if it continues provocation with militarization of disputed islets in the South China Sea, according to U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter. Carter told Asian defense ministers, security analysts, and scholars attending a security forum in Singapore, there is growing anxiety about Chinese action in the strategic waters and elsewhere. A particular concern is whether China will do as it proposes and dredge the Scarborough Shoal, which is also claimed by the Philippines. Carter called such action provocative and destabilizing. This is VOA News. The United Nations Security Council has held an emergency closed-door meeting to hear briefings about the blocking of humanitarian aid in Syria. Syria's UN ambassador Bashar Jaafari dismissed claims that his country is hindering deliveries to certain areas. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and French Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault held talks today to discuss specific challenges facing a proposed Israeli-Palestinian peace conference. Reporters asked Mr. Kerry if parts of the West Bank should be open to greater development and commerce as well as more movement.
That's something we shouldn't do in a haphazard way like this. There's some very specific things we'll all talk about and see what we do. But we want to be constructive.
France on Friday hosted top diplomats from the West and the Arab world to discuss the proposal. Israeli and Palestinian representatives were absent from Friday's talks. 5 years after war broke out in Sudan's South Kordofan state, the UN Refugee Agency reports thousands of people are continuing to flee the region, most heading for South Sudan. Lisa Schlein reports from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
In the lead-up to South Sudan's independence in 2011, conflict erupted between Sudan's government and a rebel movement, the Sudan People's Liberation Movement North. The UN Refugee Agency reports the problems that were pushing people to flee their homes back then continue to this day. UNHCR spokesman Adrian Edwards says so far this year, more than 7,500 refugees have crossed the border to Yida in South Sudan's Unity State.
From the refugees, we're hearing of escalating violence, a talk of ground attacks, aerial bombings, the recent arrivals. We're also citing lack of food, no access to schools for their children.
And some people have become trapped and are unable to escape. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The International Olympic Committee has named 10 members to the first ever refugee team to compete at the Olympic Games. The Rio de Janeiro-bound team includes athletes from Syria, South Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Ethiopia. IOC President Thomas Bach.
The Olympic anthem will be played in their honor. The Olympic flag will lead them into the Olympic stadium.
Bach says,
and in this way, we are convinced that this refugee Olympic team can send a symbol of hope.
Bach says the refugee athletes will have a prominent place in the opening ceremonies, which start on August 5th. The international governing body of football says the group's former president, Sepp Blatter, and two other top officials awarded themselves pay raises and bonuses worth over $80 million over 5 years. Details of FIFA's internal investigation were released on Friday. I'm Marty Johnson reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.